If you're a woman seeking a safe space to hear genuine conversations about faith, family, mental health, and life as a modern day woman, then you're in the right place. Welcome to the Desiree Ofori Podcast. Hey everyone, welcome to a new episode of the Desiree Ofori Podcast. If this is your first time here, welcome, welcome, welcome. And if you are returning, welcome back. So today is going to be an actual replay of episode 41, How to Manage Overwhelm as a Highly Sensitive Person with Coach Justina Butler. I did change the name of this podcast because I wanted to really hone in on what she talked about with the space, grace, and time, the power of that. Whether you are highly sensitive and ambitious or not, whether you're just a mom trying to make it through the day and you know the holidays are right around the corner, so we need to get ourselves in order so that we can enjoy the holidays instead of dreading everything that has to come with it, I wanted to make sure that I revisited and brought back up this episode because it was filled with so many helpful tips and so much confirmation and just a feeling of, okay, I'm not alone. I can do this. Let's go and make it happen. And so I'm just so glad to be able to bring this back for you today. A little bit about Justina, because the original episode had like 10 minutes worth of intro. I'm just going to give a little intro about who she is, and then we're going to jump right into this episode. Justina is an emotional resilience coach for sensitive and ambitious women. She is also trained in somatic attachment therapy. She is trained in a Christian approach to internal family systems and is also trained in how to treat complex trauma. She is also the host of her podcast, Good Girl, Free Woman, which is a supportive tool for women in emotionally destructive relationships. She helps them regain emotional control, stop people pleasing, and heal from toxic religion and relationships. So you are definitely in for a treat. All the information on how to connect with Justina will be in the description box. It is different than the last time that we met up with Justina, so definitely go there and check it out. All right, you guys, I think that's enough. Let's get right into it. Enjoy.
So a highly sensitive person is someone who has the sensory processing sensitivity. It's a trait. So like for me, my biological father was, from what I know, he was sensitive, but my mother, super highly sensitive person. And I'm highly sensitive. And then my daughter, without any training or knowing, she comes out the womb, she's a highly sensitive person too. And so it's not there. I think it's important to realize that there's a difference between someone who's just overly emotional and who's being triggered and someone who's highly sensitive. So someone, and people can get that mixed up. For me, what I found was I was both. I was being triggered. And even when I went and healed all of the things that needed to be healed, I learned, wait, I am a highly sensitive person. So sometimes people can use being sensitive, like, oh, I'm sensitive, but really it's a trigger, like they're in a trigger response, right? They're in a stress response. So there's a difference. And I think that's important to note too. So, and the other part of this is ambition. And so ambition, let's define it. It means having or showing a strong desire and determination to succeed, right? So the complexity of being someone who's highly sensitive, but also has these strong desires to achieve, right? There has to be an awareness. Like it is so important to build emotional resilience and have awareness around what causes you to feel overwhelmed or what overstimulates you. You have to be aware of your environment, of what you're doing, because when you're a highly sensitive woman, the sensory processing, the part of that is your senses. So you think sight, smell, taste, feel, like anything that comes in through your senses, right? And so you have to set your environment up as a highly sensitive woman to where you're not going to constantly be overstimulated. Because we are more sensitive, it's easier for us to be overstimulated or overwhelmed, let me say. And so when you're ambitious, the complexity is you want to achieve, you want to do whatever it takes, right, to achieve whatever it is that you want in your life. But at the same time, there's this part of you that's highly sensitive, that needs space, that needs to slow down. And maybe it doesn't need to go all the time, right? It needs to have just like this openness and this spaciousness and this calmness. And they can collide sometimes because the ambition will, it can drive you into the ground if you allow it, if you're not honoring the sensitivity. So highly sensitive and ambitious means I am ambitious. I am determined to do whatever it takes to achieve my goals. But I also honor that I am a sensitive woman and I set my life up in a way to where I check in with myself and I'm honoring what my needs are and setting my environment up that way. So I'm not constantly overstimulated. So I can achieve my ambitions, but in a healthy way, not this way where you hear a lot of men online that will say 10X, go, 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 do, 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 right? Like, it's like this hustle mentality, which it is healthy, I think, to have some hustle there. Like, you have to have some ambition, you know, you have to have some drive, but it's equally as important for a highly sensitive woman to have that space, to have that calmness, to have that peace. And a big part of that is being able to regulate your emotions, being able to have emotional resilience. Because when you're ambitious, you're going to run into so many challenges. You're gonna, especially if you're a mom and a wife, you know, there's so many playing parts in your life, so many hats that you wear, that the single under God, the single most important thing, that the thing that matters the most is your ability to lead yourself. And that means leading yourself through difficult, uncomfortable emotions.
I love how you said that, to lead yourself. And that's how I felt. Like, it's okay to be sensitive and have emotions, but how you are allowing yourself to like allow that to play out is very important, because you can say, oh, I'm just very stressed out, or I'm just angry. And I tell my kids this all the time. I feel like I do a pretty good job with my kids, like helping, learning, teaching them how to regulate their emotions and how to work through, you know, their challenges. And I often tell them, like, you are in control of yourself. Like, I could tell you what to do all day, but it's up to you to decide if you're going to follow what I'm telling you to do. Mm-hmm. And it's up to you to decide, like, it's okay for you to be angry, but it's up to you to decide how you're going to show and display that anger or that frustration. And it feels very easy to be like on the outside looking in to tell them. But then when it comes to me, I find myself like really struggling to pull myself back and be like, okay, Des, calm down. Like, you are in control of how you feel right now. You have to, you know, self-lead how you're gonna, you know, react to the situation. So one of the topics when we were talking about different topics to discuss for the podcast was managing overwhelm. And there were a couple others, but that was the biggest one that everybody, I did a poll on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And majority of people, like 62%, so it was overwhelming, wanted to know how to manage the overwhelm. And I believe most of those people were mothers, because like you said, it's one thing to be like in a controlled environment, like you're at work and you're in public. So, you know, okay, I have social responsibility. I know like how I'm supposed to act in this environment. Like I can control myself. Mm-hmm. But then when you're behind closed doors or by yourself, like you're in the car and you're sobbing and crying, like everything just releases, or you're at home with the kids and you're stressed out and you're overstimulated. Mm-hmm. And then you find yourself becoming undone. That is very difficult when you're in the midst of becoming undone to like try to pull yourself back together. Because it's kind of like, it's not, you're in your comforts of your own home, but you feel kind of like you don't have control either. So does that make sense?
Oh yeah, it makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how can we handle that overwhelm when we're feeling like this is larger than me. I am struggling to pull myself back together. I know logically how I'm supposed to act right now and how I'm supposed to behave. I know what I want to do, but it's not translating. Like, there's a disconnect and I'm feeling myself spiral. How do I pull myself back together?
Yeah. So anytime you're in, like, if you find yourself in this position or anytime you feel overwhelmed, there are three things that are going to be your best friend: space, grace, and time. And so you need to separate yourself. If you're not someone who, like, if you're struggling with this, you need to give yourself space. Eventually you'll get to the point, once you practice emotional regulating your emotions, you'll get to the point where you can regulate in the moment, just like that. But if you're not at that point and you're like, oh, I'm feeling overwhelmed, you need to give yourself space. So that means going to a safe place in your home where it's just you, whether that's your closet, your bathroom, or at home office. Give yourself space, like, drop what you're doing and do it. It doesn't matter what you're doing. And I mean, if you're cooking, turn the stove off. But go to a safe place to give yourself space, right? Then the time part here is, a lot of times when we're overwhelmed, we can feel like this, it's part of what comes into the overwhelm is, I need to get it all done now, right? I have all these things to do and it all needs to be done. And the sense is like, it needs to be done now. And so giving yourself time, like, not everything needs to be done right now in this moment. Even if my child is throwing a fit and has really bad attitude, it doesn't need to be addressed right now. Like, the most important thing is your ability to regulate yourself and to lead yourself through your challenges, because you're the parent, right? So they're going to be looking to you for their entire lives to be able to lead them. And you can't lead them effectively if you can't even lead yourself in the moment. So the best thing you can do for that kid is to give yourself space and time to check in with yourself. So when you give yourself that time and you're like, okay, not everything needs to be done now, I'm going to go get to a safe place and I'm going to check in with myself. And that part of that time is you're looking within, right, to see what is showing up for you in that moment. And when I say what is showing up for you, I mean, like, what are you feeling? I like to say parts. So we're one person made of many different parts. And that means you can think of the parts like emotions, right? Emotions come and go, they rise and they fall. And so when you feel overwhelmed, you are flooded with emotions, right? It's the situation right now is so big that I feel like I'm drowning, right? So when I give myself space, I'm in a safe place. And now I have the time and I'm looking within and I'm saying, like, take a deep breath. What is showing up for me right now? What am I feeling right now? Right. And know that whatever comes up is perfect. Meaning I'm not going to judge it. I'm just going to let it come up, because in order for us to move past resistance, past overwhelm, we have to lean into it. We have to get curious about it. And you'll notice, as soon as you name, I heard this, I think by Dr. Dan Siegel in a book that he wrote, you name it to tame it. So as soon as you name what you're feeling, you'll already get a sense of relief. Sometimes that's enough when you go, okay, what am I feeling right now? Oh, I feel anxious. I feel overwhelmed. And I'm angry. I'm angry that I feel anxious, that I'm not able to handle this situation, right? Just doing that sometimes is enough. And then you can walk out and you can handle it because you know what to do next. Sometimes you take it a step further. Okay, I feel angry and I also feel anxious and overwhelmed. Then you can ask yourself, why? Why are these feelings here? And the answer will be there. Okay, I'm anxious because my kid just is screaming and won't stop screaming. He's throwing a tantrum. And I have a deadline at work that I have to do, or I have a project that I need to turn in and I need to make dinner. And so I have all these things going on and it's making me feel really anxious. Like, I got to get it all done. And then I'm angry because I don't have it all done and I can't manage my kids screaming and getting it all done. You know what I mean? So when you ask yourself why, the answer will come, because what you're doing is you're tuning into yourself. When you're overwhelmed, it's so much noise outside of you. And your focus is like there. And when you feel overwhelmed, your body's like, hey, pay attention to me. Anytime you feel those uncomfortable emotions, it's a sign I need to look, I need to get curious about what I'm feeling right now. And so the why comes up and you will get more release, right? And then the next thing you can do is ask yourself, what do I need? Or what does this part of me need right now? What does this anger need? I just want to scream so loud right now, scream in a pillow. Ugh, I just need to a 5 minute break. I need to go on a walk by myself. You, like, you'll get all the answers because it's you. You're the one with the needs. And what happens is when we're busy, when we're moms and we're ambitious, we're working, whether that's in corporate or running your own thing or having a side gig, we're constantly busy with work and other people's needs. And we forget about our own. And then our own needs are suffocated. So this practice of giving yourself space, grace, and time is bringing your needs back up to awareness and saying, hey, what is it that I need? Because you cannot be an effective worker, employee, an effective business owner, or an effective mom or wife unless you can lead yourself. And this is you leading yourself. This is you checking in with yourself so you can do the things that you need to do so that you're regulated and you're able to be a more effective mom. Meaning when I'm regulated, my kids, I can help them be regulated more effectively without yelling at them, without being impatient, right? So it always comes back to you and it's not selfish, it's necessary. And if you want to be the best mom and wife and worker and business owner, this is necessary because emotions, all of our decisions, I'm going to dare to say, are based on our emotions. They come from a place of emotion. We're either avoiding pain or we're going after a good feeling, right? We're avoiding pain or chasing pleasure. That's even when it comes to like living for God, it feels good to worship. It feels good. We want to go like everything. The emotion is at the root of everything that we do. God made us as feeling creatures. Yeah. So giving yourself space and time, and then the grace comes in with the fact that I think a lot of our default is to beat ourselves up. You know, if you haven't had someone who taught you how to love on yourself and to show grace to not just others, but you, the default is I don't have all this together. I can't believe I missed the deadline. I can't believe I'm failing as a parent because my child, like, you're beating yourself up. And so the grace is saying, wow, I don't have it all together right now. I am losing it right now. And that's okay. And I forgive myself for it, right? I just yelled at my kid. And you come in and you're crying and you're sad and you're beating yourself up because of what you did. I should have known better. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I forgive myself for that. Yeah. I forgive myself for not meeting the mark. And now I know what to do. Like, I'm here, I'm regulated now. I know I can go and apologize to my kid and let them know I was wrong for what I did. And I can do better next time by checking with myself before I get to the point where I'm overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. Right. So that's what I would recommend for managing overwhelm, checking in with yourself. It seems simple. So it's like, but when you discipline yourself to actually do it, it will change your life. Like, you will find so much relief just in that space, grace, and time.
I love that. And it's funny because my mug that I picked up was my grace yourself. I'm always trying to remind myself to do that. Grace yourself, does great. Give yourself grace. And I tell other women to do that too. We have so much on our plate. Rarely is it that we only have one thing to focus on. We have so many different things coming at us. And mm-hmm. we have to be mindful, like, hey, I've got a lot going on. Like, no, you know, it's natural that I might feel overwhelmed or stressed out or have these feelings. This is natural. This is not weird. Like, there is no such thing as a true superwoman, like, and multitasking and trying to do, like, it's a lot. It really mm-hmm. is a lot. So giving yourself grace is very, very important. I strongly believe in that. And when I tell myself that, it does help me, like, okay, all right, it's not the end of the world, does. Mm-hmm. We're going to get through this. And what you said about time, space, I have definitely been allowing myself to do that more often. I have to do a better job. I will forgive myself, like you said to do. I'm not always doing it the right way, because sometimes I will leave the house. And I'm pretty open and honest on my podcast and everywhere. So there was one night when the kids were home and they were just like, it just would not stop. And I just felt like so overwhelmed. And I usually have earplugs. I need to go buy some new ones that help reduce the sound. Cause I realized like, oh, I'm getting overstimulated. Sound is a big thing for me that mm-hmm. I realized in the past year. So I got those loop earplugs. And that's not a plug, you guys. I got the earplugs and they help just like minimize. Sometimes I just wish like, oh, if I could have like hearing aids, just turn down the volume, like mm-hmm. I could manage this. And so I got those earplugs to help reduce the sound, just to mute. I can still hear what's going on, but it just helps like bring everything down. And as soon as I put them in, I just feel like my whole body just like relaxed. Yeah. So that particular day, I did not have my earplugs. I didn't know where they were. So I couldn't reduce the noise. I knew that if I went into my office, anywhere I went into the house, like I could still hear them. And I just needed to get out. Like it was kind of like a fight or flight situation. I don't even know if I told them I'd be back. I just got in the car and I left and I went around the block. I knew that they were safe. There was nothing on the stove. I knew that they were safe. And so I left and just drove a couple times around the block and then came back in and I felt so much better. But for them, now I felt like that was traumatic for them because they're like, mommy left and she abandoned us. And they're very good with their vocabulary. And I think I've done an overly great job of like helping them learn how to express and mm-hmm. verbalize what they're feeling in their thought process. So they're telling me, and then that made me feel like horrible. Like here I am trying to take a minute for myself, but yet the way that I chose to do it was not good because now they're looking at it as if, you know, the next time I do this, mommy's going to abandon me. She's going to leave and not come back, kind of a thing. So I'm still working with the residue of that, mm-hmm. but definitely like going into the room or going into my closet, closing the door, just like verbalizing to them, like I need some space right now. I found that really helps. Just I need to do that more often. Just verbalizing like, hey, this is a lot right now. And just being honest with them. And they understand it, even if they're 7 or 4, like they get it. mm-hmm. I need a timeout right now. I need to have a reset and do that. And it really does. It does help take the edge off to do that. And then I also do, like you said, to just check in with myself, like, why am I feeling these ways? And I go even like more even basic, like, is it because I'm tired? Am I hungry? Do I need to go eat something? Am I feeling rushed? Do I need to like slow down? So that always, like what you said was like perfect because it's confirming because I do that too in a sense.
Yeah. So a couple of things come up here. As highly sensitive women, the quickest way to feel overwhelmed is to try to multitask. And I had to learn that the hard way. Because I'm highly sensitive, like for example, if I'm driving my kids to school, I noticed I would try to listen to a podcast while I'm driving them and they want to talk. And I would get frustrated, like, why are you guys talking right now? Then I realized, wait a minute, why am I trying to listen to a podcast right now? Like, I can't do both. Then I started playing music. Then I was like, I can't even put on music and listen to them at the same time because it's more than two things because I'm driving, listening mm-hmm. to music and trying to talk to them. So now when we drive, the music is very low or it's off completely. So the next thing that comes up, so multitasking, don't try to multitask. Just focus on, be very present with what you're doing in the moment. Then there's sometimes where it's kind of impossible to turn off the noise, not impossible, but let's say you're cooking uh-huh. and the kids are just loud. So setting up when I said setting up your environment for you as a highly sensitive person, for me, what I found is like, I can't have family downstairs with me talking and kids arguing and husband, you know, whatever he's doing. It's just too much sound and too much movement for me. I need to be able to have the kitchen when I'm cooking quiet. There needs to be order. And so where boundary comes in. So it's like, okay, guys, mommy's cooking. If you're going to be down here, you need to be quiet. Otherwise you can go play outside in the back or you can go play upstairs. Right. I need the sound. Same as you. I need I need the sound at a certain level, and it needs to be like, I play a lot of soothing, calming music, or like I'll turn on a nature documentary or something. But a part of this, like being able to set those boundaries and notice when you're overwhelmed, is the practice of checking with yourself is so powerful, because when you find yourself to the point where you're triggered, where you're just like, oh, like you hit that fight or flight response, it's not too late, but rather there was an opportunity for you to check in before. Cause it's not, from my personal experience, it's not that as soon as the sound happens, I'm like losing it. Like I need to get out of here. Right. Like you guys are just driving me nuts. Like when I was cooking, it's not right when they make the sound, unless I'm being triggered then by something from my past, but it's often a buildup, and it can be a fast buildup. So the key here as a sensitive woman is for us to notice and really pay attention to what are those triggers for us. Like, what is it sound for me? Like it took me a long time to learn, like, okay, this sound, this chaos in the kitchen is too much. I already know before I go in the kitchen now that chaos is too much. I've trained my family now. They know when mommy's down there, no chaos downstairs. But before, it's like, it's paying attention. And that means paying attention to you. Mm-hmm. What are you feeling in your body?
Yeah.
Like, are you feeling discomfort, tense? Are you feeling a tightness in your head? Are your shoulders tensing up? I remember going to the grocery store, and I've always had social anxiety. I didn't know what that word was until my adult life, but my whole life I struggled with it. Cause you know, when I was younger, I was selectively mute. I didn't talk in school all the way until I was like middle school. And they thought something was like wrong with me. Something was wrong with me. I had so much anxiety, right? So the teachers would call on me. I would get bad grades. I couldn't see the board. I wouldn't speak up. I didn't have friends because I wouldn't talk. I just sat there with my arms folded, my mouth closed. My teachers would always say, Justina, she just stares at me with those big eyes and she won't say anything. And I remember the kids used to tease me because I just wouldn't talk. And that when I was that young, I didn't know what it was. But when I look back now, it was just way overstimulating for me. Like being in this room of strangers, and we moved a lot. So it was always new schools, new faces, new kids, unfamiliar.
A lot.
In public school, there's too many kids for a highly sensitive person. That highly sensitive child walks in there and they're immediately overwhelmed because it's unsafe. It's unfamiliar. They don't know it. And so that was me when I was younger. So anyways, I remember walking in the grocery store, and when I started to do this work and learning how to regulate my emotions and paying attention to my body, I noticed that my hands at the end of the shopping were so tight. And I realized I had so much pressure, so much tension. I was holding the cart. I hold the cart, like not anymore, but I used to hold the cart like this, so tight to where I would be sore afterwards because I was scared. I did it. And this happened all the way up until 3 years ago. That's when I first noticed it.
Wow.
And it's like, yeah, when I started doing like the learning emotional regulation, and I was like, oh my goodness. Every time I go into public spaces, like in a grocery store, I'm this tense. And then I would wonder why I have a headache, and because I'm going in there overstimulated, scared. I don't feel safe. Right. But I never would have known that. I would have continued to be irritable at my children, at everyone, because I'm like trying to rush through, like, let's get the groceries and get out. Never would have known that had I not started doing emotional regulation and paying attention, checking in with myself. So because I checked in with myself, I was able to see, oh, there's a tenseness in my hands. Let me rest them a little bit. Hey, I'm safe. I'm okay.
Yeah.
I'm an adult. Nothing's gonna happen.
That's a big one. Reminding yourself, I'm safe. I'm okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that same thing applies to every area of your life. So when you're at home with the kids, check in with yourself, meaning like do a body scan from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Where do you sense tightness, tension, heaviness? That's the first step, right? What am I feeling in my body? And then emotions are usually attached to those. And you can say, what am I feeling? Oh, there's a tightness in my head. What is this feeling here? Okay, I'm stressed right now. Oh, why am I stressed? Right? But you have to give awareness to those parts, like the tension, mm-hmm. give awareness to the emotion and allow it to talk back to you. And it sounds silly, but it's you talking back to you. But, yeah. And the reason why I say that is because we have a brain that wants to, if you're ambitious, you want to solve all the problems. You want it like, what's the solution here? Here, we need to do this. But the giving yourself space, grace, and time, part of that is giving it to yourself and a lot, instead of trying to manage what needs to happen, you're pausing and you're saying, what do I really need? Like, what is my body telling me right now? Because we can ignore our needs and try to bulldoze all of the different parts of us because we have things to do and it should look a certain way. It needs to look a certain way. So let me go out. Okay. What needs to happen right now? No, it's not about what needs to happen. It's about what's showing up for me right now in my body. What am I feeling right now? What am I sensing right now? And a great part of this, because a lot of people, when they hear emotions, they're like, don't follow your emotions. Don't get all into your emotions. Like we're not led by emotions, right? That's what people try to say. Like they try to go away from emotion. But when you lean into the emotion and you see, what am I feeling? What am I sensing? It's not about, now let me let that lead my life. It's actually quite opposite. If you're not checking in with yourself, you're being led by your emotions, especially if you're a highly sensitive person. You don't even realize it and you're being led by your emotions. When you do check in with yourself, that's where you can bring your thinking brain, your prefrontal cortex can come online and connect with your emotional brain and say, wait a minute, this feeling is here. I feel it. I sense it. I get it. But you know what? This story that's attached to this feeling is not true. Like, this is not true for me right now. I can handle this. So it's actually the opposite. You're not being led by your emotions. Instead, you're coming in and you're leading yourself through the emotion. You're saying, I feel it. I sense it. I get it. I give myself grace. But what is true in this moment? Who am I in this moment? I know who I am, because what happens when you're stuck in that stress response, when you go into overwhelm, and commonly it's like, when you're overwhelmed, you're in that, you're either in fight or flight, and then you go into like shutdown, right? And you're so into your emotion, you're so sunk in it. But when you check in with yourself and you do that whole process, you're able to bring awareness to what you're feeling and lead yourself through it. So you're not being led by the emotion by reacting, by shutting down, by fighting, like being angry or trying to leave or trying to like sulk in your emotion, like go and doom scroll on Instagram or go drink or go watch Netflix, like a garbage show, right? You're not doing those things. You're not reacting to your emotion. You're leading your emotion. You're leading those emotions through those emotions, right? You're leading yourself through them. And then what you'll find out is that you don't have to do all of those things. You don't have to do the things that, you know, when you're normally triggered and you want to go to soothe the pain, you want to like, I need some release right now. You don't have to do those things because you've just led yourself through the emotion.
That's so good. I did, like you were saying about the multitasking, that a hard thing for me. I think I may have been able to multitask before kids. It could be a dream that I thought I was able to, but I definitely cannot now. I mean, I do it, I make it happen, but it comes at a price a lot of time.
Yes.
And I always, I really noticed it during 2020 when the kids were home and I was doing artwork. If y'all didn't know, I'm an artist. If you're seeing the video, you see the art in the background. But I was working on art, some paintings, and I just felt so frustrated because they were home. I was used to them being in daycare or being at school. And now, you know, quarantine, everybody's here at home. I'm still trying to be ambitious and get this work out to sell. So it felt like very, like I have to do this, but I also have to take care of them. And they're also running around. And I know that I need to separate the two. I cannot do both at the same time, but I still felt myself wanting to paint because that relieved some of the stress for me.
Oh, yeah.
So it was like, the thing that is relieving my stress is also causing me stress because I'm trying to do it at the same time where, you know, what I'm stressed about. So that was very challenging for me. And I still find myself kind of sneaking away when I'm feeling stressed. I'll find something to paint or create or do. Even if it's just like 5 minutes, I'll just slip in. And then the minute that they interrupt me, it's like, you know, so I really have to work on that, on like, just, I mean, and I even write it in my, on my planner, like pick up the boys, dinner, be present with the kids. Like I've been writing that down in my planner this week. I have not done it, but because I'm always like, I need to escape, like you said, like escape to like find pleasure, avoid the pain or the stress. But I just, I feel, I'm feeling like it's very, you know, talking to you, I'm feeling like this is a priority. I have to make that a priority to not try to do a whole bunch of things at one time. Like if I'm going to do well, like I owe it to myself to not try to do all the things. Mm-hmm. Even if I'm capable of doing it, doesn't mean that I have to, because the end result may not be what I feel good about. Like I'll be glad that I got the stuff done, but inside I'm like, I don't like how it came about.
Yeah. And it affects our emotions. Like it affects our mood. It affects how we show up. Right. And I think like when we do things for ourselves, necessary, like we need to do things for ourselves. I think what is important there, like for us as highly sensitive women who are also ambitious, is the boundaries. Like I have this time for you. Mm-hmm. And I have this time for me, and respect has to happen both ways. Meaning I'm going to respect that I have this time for you, and I'm going to be fully present with you. But when it's mommy's time to go in her office, or for in your case to paint, in my case to write and read, don't come unless it's an emergency. Don't open that door. Go to your daddy.
And that's what I try to do. Like, I'm like, okay, Des, just wait till husband comes home and he can deal with them. And he's really good at that, of like letting me have my space, because he gets it. He will be the guard, like, nope, don't, where are you going? Mm-mm, come back over here. Leave her alone, she's doing this. So I need to, so it's not that I don't have the opportunity to have separate time for myself. Like now they're at school, I could never do this while they were here, like no way. So they're away at school, but I need to do a better job of respecting my boundaries. And if I want others to respect my boundaries, it has to start with me. Like I have to do that first. So thank you for like helping me pull that together.
Story of all of our lives, like building that self-trust with ourselves and keeping our word to ourselves. Like that's something that we all, especially if you're a highly sensitive person. Yes. It's something that we're all working on.
Awesome. Is there any last words that you would want to leave with us? Just one thing that there was nothing else that anybody remembers, like one thing that you would want them to take with them to remember.
Forgive yourself for all the ways that you don't meet the mark. Yeah. Every day.
Wow. That hit. That hit for all the ways. Yeah. Say that one more time. That was good.
Forgive yourself for all the ways that you don't meet the mark. Every day.
That's so good. Thank you so much, Justina. I really appreciate you taking the time to be with us.
Yes.
This was so, so good. And I hope and pray that everybody listening or watching, that you were able to get a lot out of this, or at least one thing to take with you that will help push you in the right direction, maybe even understand yourself more. I'm big on, like, we always think that we're the only ones dealing with certain situations or experiencing experiences or feelings, but I guarantee you, even if there's nobody in your proximity, there is somebody in the world who gets what you're going through.
Yes.
And who feels the same way that you do. So you are never alone. And I hope that if you've been feeling alone, that you have come across this and now you realize, oh, it's not just me. I'm not weird. I'm not odd. This is normal, this is natural, and there is ways for me to get help, and there's ways for me to lead myself through these emotions and feelings.
Yes.
So thank you again, and until next time, you guys be blessed.
Thank you.
Okay, one more thing before you leave. If you found any value in today's episode, do yourself and others a favor. Don't just keep it to yourself, spread the word. screenshot it, share it on social media, send a link to it via text message to your friend group. Let people know that this was valuable and that it will help change their lives. Also, it would mean so much to me if you can go and leave us a review on Apple iTunes so that other people who are shopping podcasts know that this is worth their time. And if you haven't already joined our email list, go ahead and look at the description bar. The link will be there. Or you can visit www.decaliseartstudio.com. You will get updates, you will get freebies, you will get inspiration, and you will also get friends and family discount on upcoming artwork and products. Until next time, be blessed and stay well.